The Trump administration offers several explanations for applying tariffs on countries, blocs, and territories across the globe. These levies, it says, will balance trade, promote domestic manufacturing, and strengthen national security. They are also starting to shift centers of geopolitical gravity. India and China have a long history of mutual suspicion. But as Fahad Shah reports today, Washington's more aggressive economic tactics are turning these foes into friends. International trade partners, China's envoy to India said recently, should complement each other and lead to mutually beneficial win-win cooperation. It's Wednesday, October 1st. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Ira Porter. First, our curation of news briefs from staff writers and wire services. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth declared an end to politically correct leadership in the armed forces. He summoned hundreds of U.S. military officials to an in-person meeting to announce directives for troops that include male-level standards for physical fitness, as well as an end to woke culture. The meeting underscored the extent to which the country's culture wars have emerged as a front and center agenda item for Mr. Hegseth's Pentagon. A major U.S.-Africa trade deal was set to terminate on Tuesday, ending duty-free access to U.S. markets for thousands of African products. Leaders from Kenya and other African nations have been pushing for a renegotiated African Growth and Opportunity Act. In Kenya, where the textile and apparel sector has boomed under the agreement, there is fear that without a new deal, new competition and blanket tariffs will lead to significant job losses. Also, the U.S. began deporting hundreds of Iranians after a rare deal with Tehran. The first group of 400 people included both convicted criminals and people who had entered the country illegally, said a U.S. official who spoke to Reuters anonymously. The transfer marks an unusual moment of coordination between two nations at loggerheads over Iran's nuclear program. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com for our latest news, including the status on a U.S. government shutdown. Two recent mass shooting suspects are decorated U.S. combat veterans. The events renew concerns about how America cares for veterans, including in regard to mental health care and meaningful social connections. Patrick Johnson reports for The Monitor. Like other recent plans for the day after war ends in Gaza, the Trump ceasefire plan was formulated without direct input from Gaza's residents. As they react with both optimism and skepticism, a major concern is that they don't give up on self-determination. Khada Abdul Fattah and Taylor Luck report from Deir Abala, Gaza Strip, and Amman, Jordan for The Monitor. India is investing in its ports to try to build international shipping capacity and to cultivate its thawing relationship with China, which now sees the countries as partners, not rivals. The move comes as India deals with 50% tariffs put in place by the Trump administration. Contributor Fahad Shah reports from Mumbai, India, for The Monitor. Efforts to end female genital mutilation often fail because they don't have the buy-in of communities for which the practice is important. In Liberia, activists are asking, what would make change stick? Contributor Tina Mimpain reports from Medina, Liberia, for The Monitor. From snailfish to tardigrades, creatures that thrive in extreme climates inspire curiosity and awe. They also afford scientists the opportunity to study how species adapt to harsh conditions over time. Aaron Douglas reports for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on the Gaza plan's aim for interfaith harmony. One big test for President Donald Trump's plan to end the war in Gaza, other than Hamas accepting it, will be if young people in the Middle East like it. About a third of the region's people are 15 to 34 years old, and they have become so eager for peace and prosperity that many Arab and Muslim leaders eagerly signed up to back the plan. Yet, according to one poll, this youth bulge also does not like politicized religious movements like Hamas. The 20-point plan addresses this sentiment. After achieving its initial steps to stabilize Gaza, the plan calls for a program in which Palestinians would be de-radicalized. Gaza must become a terror-free zone, the plan states, and it lays out one way to do this, an interfaith dialogue to change mindsets and narratives in Israel and Gaza. Details on such a dialogue were not given, yet that may not be necessary. A proposed administrator for Gaza, former British Prime Minister Tony Blair, is an expert at promoting interfaith understanding. Even more, a few Muslim countries are now leaders in bringing major religions together to end conflicts. In mid-September, for example, Malaysia hosted an interfaith conference for peace and harmony in a turbulent world. About the same time, Kazakhstan hosted a Congress, its eighth since 2003, with more than 100 representatives of Christianity, Islam, Judaism, Buddhism, and other faiths. Pope Leo XIV sent a message to participants that working together in harmony is not merely a pragmatic choice, but a reflection of the deeper order of reality. In 2023, the U.S. State Department issued a report on the use of interfaith dialogue in Burkina Faso to enhance national cohesion and reduce the threat of terrorism. At the crossroads of many religions in Central Asia, Kazakhstan has taken up spiritual diplomacy to counter a rise in religious extremism. During this latest Congress, Kazakh political scientist Marat Shibutov noted the promise and perils of such gatherings. It used to be hard enough just to get imams and rabbis from the Middle East to sit at the same table, he told the Times of Central Asia. This time, sparks were flying throughout the Congress. At the closing session, the chief Sephardic rabbi nearly got into a confrontation with an imam from Al-Azhar. It was tough for the organizers, but they pulled it off. One organizer, Marlon Ashimbayev, head of the Kazakhstan Senate, wrote in the EU Reporter of a deep need for different faiths to call for dialogue, compassion, and coexistence. When the wars in Ukraine and Gaza finally end, he stated, the work of reconciliation will require not only political agreements, but also moral and spiritual healing. Religious leaders will be central to that process. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how we can be assured that the divine principle, God, has pure good in store for us. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Tim Malone, Mackenzie Farkas, and Audrey Thiebert.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2025.